through Malachi all the major verses of the second coming, direct and figurative. You all know that. That's all recorded now. Every meeting, by the way, every big meeting from now on, we've got to have a session on the second coming. Even the regional meetings, there ought to be a second coming Bible study at every one of them.
Green Chevy station wagon must be moved right away, or it'll be towed. Park in front of the theater.
You'll see, near the outer fringes, the second coming understanding right now, how we're going to have to stand alone, as Jesus did at Calvary. Not that we're going to die for the sins of anyone, but we're going to be tested, as he was. And those who overcome, he gives to wear the crown of life. So we've got to get ready for that now.
Yes.
Remember the five foolish virgins who said, in effect, they said, we are rich, we've prospered, we need nothing. We got it together. Let's not be that way. Now about the second coming, where are we going to begin? With scriptures. One of the strange things about the second coming is how secretive it is. Now, there's every reason to say that Paul knew a great deal more about the second coming than he wrote directly in the scriptures. He must have been on to everything that I can see the connections, and a great deal more. When I say he must have, I'm not just honoring him. The connections, how then will you understand all the parables, said Jesus? The connections that would have been needed for him to have seen as much as he did write about indicate that he must have seen the rest. But there is a secretive thing about the second coming in the scripture. That's one of the themes concerning it. Understanding about the second coming has lain dormant for a long time. In the last 50 years or so, there's been a renewed interest in it. But it wasn't dealt with near as much then as it is now. There's a whole lot of books now about the second coming. Everybody seems to be interested in it. Soon they'll have a movie about it. No, I mean a worldly movie. In the world. Like they had the one about the Noah's Ark and the Omen, yeah, the Omen. The Antichrist. Well, maybe soon they'll have a movie about the second coming. Now, the prophetic sayings of Jesus. Jesus said in John 14:3, when I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. By the way, there's two marriage figures right in there. Prepare a place for you. That's what the husband does. Prepares a place for the wife. And take you to me. That is marriage. Strong connection between marriage and the second coming. Intended throughout Scripture. The fundamental verse for that statement is one of the fundamental verses for the whole marriage Bible study. Pay attention. What is it? It's a profound mystery, and I say it means Christ and the church. That's what Paul said. Now, how do you interpret the Bible? Okay, Encyclopedia Britannica. Now they'll all go look it up. You look up interpretation, you look up the Bible, you look up all these things, and they will give you what they call liberal interpretation. And then they'll speak, of course, some fundamentalist sects and so forth. But they will strongly be pointing to, in a supposedly neutral fashion, liberal ideas concerning Bible interpretation. Is he still there playing around? You're almost done now. There's enough distractions. They're not listening anyway. The prophetic sayings of Jesus, are they nice poetry?
No.
The question is, are they nice poetry?
No.
Wait, it's a rhetorical question. You're not supposed to answer. According to the Encyclopedia Britannica, they are things like nice poetry, the prophets meant well. They make a big issue, these people do, over whether the prophets were actually foreseeing events or whether they were making shrewd calculations. That's a very difficult area to handle. It's very easy to handle, what am I saying? You just say, yeah, I believe what Jesus said, and that's the end of it. However, that leaves you open to all kinds of attacks, which you shouldn't worry about, really. Right, Bob? Why? Go. Why?
Because we should just be living by a simple faith in Jesus and be looking to find the ones who are willing to listen and the ones who want to make trouble, those who set them alone.
Yeah, that's well and good. That's true, by the way. Basically, that's true. We should all begin with that. But as you grow, you're able to do more, which sometimes you should. Sometimes you should answer a fool so that he doesn't get a big head, the proverb says. So you should know yourself. Did you know that Martin Luther took the book of Revelation out of the Bible?
Yes.
And he said it's a work of straw and it's no good. And you shouldn't have it there. The apocalypse, what they called it. The apocalyptic writings. You understand what that means?
No.
Revelation is different from the other books, isn't it?
Yes.
It's similar to Daniel, though, isn't it?
Yes.
Now we have here a pretty red book in which Joy has been writing out every verse of first, the book of Daniel, in tiny black ink, the whole thing, verse by verse, and then in the back, Revelation, verse by verse. The whole thing is there in order to make references from Daniel to Revelation, in order to connect the two. You can't go out and buy such a thing today. Where do you buy a comparison, a verse by verse comparison of Daniel and Revelation? A blank book for filling in the references yourself. You can't. That's really going to be a big help in comparing those two books. Right here is a bunch of recent references. Some of them have 20 references on each file card. Just Daniel and Revelation, that's all. That's just the recent ones. As you know, it's highly figurative. The book of Revelation, one of the most figurative of all books, and the second half of Daniel is in the same category. But these sayings of Jesus and the book of Daniel and Revelation and all the rest of the prophets, they make no sense unless they're taken in with the view that Jesus is coming back literally, physically. Otherwise, too many things have to be explained away. Nevertheless, that is what liberal theologians are trying to do. Why? Who knows why?
They're losing faith.
True. What else?
Is it because they're not hoping in Jesus' second coming?
Well, true, but why?
What is it? They don't understand it.
No.
Because they haven't. They're not really exercising faith in Jesus. So they know they're not really righteous, so they can't hope in it. They lose their doctrine.
They have to give up their authority to Jesus.
They have no satisfied for us to take the bell list.